From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, September 4th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Dempsey Challenge. Run, walk, or bike this September to help the Dempsey Center support those impacted by cancer. DempseyChallenge.org. And Douglas Ridge, a Unity Technologies eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, committed to net zero home design. More at douglasridge.com.
Maine has received $61 million in federal funds to help repair and replace several of the state's aging bridges. Federal and state officials, including U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, made the announcement in Yarmouth today. Maine Transportation Commissioner Bruce Van Note says maintaining the state's highway infrastructure is critical to key industries here, including agriculture and forest products.
But on another level, when combined with all the other funding projects that form our Maine DOT work plan, they support a transportation system that supports what we do and who we are and is a key part of what makes Maine such a special place.
The $61 million will fund replacement of bridges along I-295, as well as a number of projects in rural Franklin County. A 2016 report found many of Maine's bridges were in need of repair, with more than half at least 50 years old. Maine Governor Janet Mills has pardoned Lexius St. Martin, who was deported to Haiti in February of 2018. St. Martin is a lawful permanent resident of the U.S., according to his attorney. He was deported 10 years after serving a jail sentence for trafficking cocaine. He was previously denied a pardon by former Governor Paula Page. And the Trump administration has announced new rules that roll back energy efficiency standards for light bulbs, which had been scheduled to take effect in January. But Maine Congressman Jared Golden says he doubts the move will have much effect on the industry or on public demand for more efficient bulbs. Mal Leary has more.
The January 2020 deadline was passed by Congress 12 years ago. Since then, Golden says, the industry has moved toward more efficient LED bulbs, and consumers have been buying them.
I don't see consumers clamoring for less efficient light bulbs any more than they were clamoring for less efficient, fuel-efficient cars. And so while he rolled back fuel efficiency standards, I don't see the auto industry rushing to follow him down that road because they know what their consumers want, which is greater efficiency.
Golden says the rule change will be more symbolic as consumers will continue to seek out products that lower their electric bills. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
In weather tonight, we'll have storms clearing up late. Some clouds still in the far north with lows overnight in the low 40s to the upper 50s. The Maine Lobstermen's Association says it's reversing its initial support for a proposal to reduce the risk that lobster fishing gear will entangle critically endangered North Atlantic right whales. Fred Bever has details.
This spring, the Maine Lobstermen's Association's delegation to a federal panel meeting in Providence agreed to a proposal that would reduce by 60% the lobster industry's contribution to the whale's risk of injury or death. That consensus agreement won approval from a wide array of stakeholders on the so-called Take Reduction Team. It's made up of some 40 lobstermen, processors, conservationists, state and federal regulators, and scientists from up and down the Northeast Coast. The proposal is now the subject of a federal rulemaking process, and it could mean that Maine lobstermen will be forced to remove half of their trap rope from the water and reduce the number of traps that they fish. Now, some previous supporters of that prospect have changed their minds.
The assumptions about what is causing risk to right whales is flawed. So the management approach put forward by the federal government is flawed.
MLA Executive Director Patrice McCarran, who originally raised her hand in support, now says she and other delegates are saying no. That's based on a new 10-page analysis she produced, which she says shows that the National Marine Fisheries Service was basing its risk assessments on faulty data. She says the agency underreported the relative risk that other gear pose for right whales. Those include Canada's snow crab pot ropes, or fixed nets for catching fish such as cod and haddock in U.S. waters.
We do know that we're not the only problem, and we're very likely not the biggest problem. And the agency really needs to take a step back and look at all of the risks and do something comprehensive, because right whales are critically endangered. I mean, this is really, really important stuff.
McCarran and four Maine lobstermen on the federally convened panel are now withdrawing their support for the initial lobster gear restrictions. McCarran says she's hopeful that other members of the team will follow suit, but some other members are challenging her views.
I feel like Patrice is deflecting the argument a bit.
Amy Knowlton is a New England aquarium whale expert currently posted in Lubeck, from where she and other scientists are trying to document right whale presence in the Bay of Fundy. Last week, the team sighted five of them near Grand Manan Island. Knowlton notes that McCarran's ranking of risk is based on cases in which whale injuries or fatalities can be documented, while in the vast majority, the cause cannot be traced.
Most of them don't have gear attached, but many have severe injuries. The injuries have become worse in recent decades as ropes have gotten stronger. I think there's many things we'll never know the answer to as to where all these events are happening, but we know whales travel far and wide, so these events are probably happening far and wide as well. And there is some evidence to that effect.
Knowlton and others on the take reduction team argue that even an occasional whale encounter with Maine's lobster fishery, with the densest concentration of underwater rope in the Northeast, risks injury and fatality. And that, they say, poses an existential threat to the population of roughly 400 whales left in the world.
I do not want to literally talk this species to death.
Sharon Young is a panelist from the Humane Society of the U.S. who cast the sole no vote to the original proposal because it wasn't strong enough. She says the Maine Lobstermen's Association appears to be responding to recent political pressure from another group of Maine harvesters, the Maine Lobstermen's Union.
The time to have stood up and said, no, we can't support this, would have been in the take reduction team, rather than waiting till after the take reduction team, when the Maine Lobstermen's Union approached politicians and got political forces involved.
The Lobstermen's Association's Patrice McCarran says her analysis was based on new data, and the change in her position is a response to false information, not political pressure. Asked for comment on the latest controversy over lobsters and whales, a spokesman for Maine's Department of Marine Resources said only that the agency appreciated the association's analysis and is performing its own. Federal officials, meanwhile, say they will respond this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a discussion of the use of restraint in Maine schools. I'm Nora Flaherty.